Well, we're in a series called Kingdom Carriers, and we believe that we get to carry this kingdom with us. What we carry into any place actually has an effect on that place. It affects us, and so we carry the kingdom with us everywhere we go. God intends, it's the governance of heaven. And so when we carry the kingdom of God into any situation, we realize we can look at the supernatural and not just the natural and figure things out on our own. So if a building caught on fire and the fire trucks arrived and the firemen jumped out and they see the fire hydrant right in front of the building, but they decide to like walk around the building and decide like, I think we can strategize our way around this fire. It would be ridiculous, right? Like, I think if we put our minds together, we can overcome this fire, you know? It's like the water's right there. Use the water. And I think with like the church, that's what the kingdom of God is. We have the kingdom of God. It's intended to be like we're to walk in it and pray. We're to believe that God is on the move doing incredible things, that he wants to partner with us. We have access to heaven, the full arsenal of heaven, every situation we're in. And that's what this series is how St. Paul Westport designed to carry this kingdom throughout. We have five values of St. Paul Westport. We've talked the last 2 weeks about engagement and expectancy. This week we're going to talk about truth. And then we're going to follow that with honor and generosity. Matt, I don't know if you can hear, there's a speaker like playing games over here somewhere. I don't know. Jilly said it during worship. I didn't even hear it. I don't know if it's something that can be controlled back there or not. Now I hear it, but we're going to look at truth today. I want to invite you, would you read this? This is our statement on truth. Would you read this with me? We're a people who believe in God's word as the absolute truth in this world. We trust the Lord's heart and intentions with scripture and eagerly apply it to our lives. That's truth for us. And so the scripture we're gonna look at today is Psalm 119. If you would open your Bibles to 119, Psalm 119, it's the largest, longest chapter in the entire Bible. We're gonna look at one small section on it. I think it's verse 153. I told you it was big. And the way Psalm 119 is designed is it's very poetic, and so every eight verses represents one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so most of the way through, towards the end of the alphabet, there's a letter named Resh. And so we're going to look at Resh. And Psalm 119, this is a psalm designed to read slowly, one of those letters at a time, and to meditate on that word. And so much of it has to do with the word of God and the Torah, the instruction that God gave his people. And so it's a prayer that points to the word. So Psalm 119, verse 153 starts with this. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. So the psalmist is in affliction and is praying this prayer and saying, hey, God, I see you as hope for the afflicted. That's me. And it's God's word that gives hope to the suffering. So the psalmist is like, look, I don't forget your law. I don't forget your word, your instruction. Give me life according to your promise. Again, pointing back to the word. Every single one of these eight verses points to the word of God, like very directly, which is pretty fascinating. 155. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. God isn't stingy, like the psalmist is saying with salvation. He's just saying, like, look, salvation is far from the wicked because they don't seek your statutes. They're not after your word. They don't want to know what you have to say, God. And so the wicked refuse him. He says, great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Give me life according to your rules. This is a prayer to God saying, Lord, I want your rules. Isn't that something? Like we oftentimes think we don't like rules. We don't want rules. Rules are bad. Do you know that good rules are good, right? Like speeding. You love that rule when it's applied to everybody else, right? Because it's safer if they're not speeding. All right, you too, but same with fraud. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, this hit really close to home, I know. But Bernie Madoff, like the number of people who've committed fraud and like ripped people's life savings away. Like this is legit. We want rules and laws against that kind of stuff. We want that to be illegal, right? Like there are laws we're very much in favor of. Murder. Okay, we could list a bunch of these. Well, in this psalm, he says, great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Lord, I want your rules because I believe you're good. There's a whole something underneath all of that. But he's inviting God's law. 157, many of my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. Though I feel alone in this, I'm staying with you, God. And then to finish out these three verses, I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. That verse one more time. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Eternal wisdom is found in Scripture. Peter, in 1 Peter, actually, many years later, thousands of years later, would say the word of the Lord endures forever. Well, this psalm, it kind of sets up and like gives us a view of like truth of God's word and how we would want God's word. We want to know God's word. So St. Paul Westport is a church of the five values. This one is the middle one. It's number 3 of 5. But it has so much impact on every other value, but really everything we're about is truth. We gotta know what truth is. And we live in a society where like we just wanna know what's really going on, right? Like how many times do you watch the news and you're just like, what's true? I just wanna know what's really true. I don't want the bias on either side. I just wanna know what's true. Like we want truth. And yet in Scripture, we believe we have this great truth. And so for us as a church, we're going to look at this today. We value truth in kind of three different parts. And they kind of build off each other. But the first one is we value truth in what we believe. And then I'll just tell you 2 and 3, and then we'll come back to the second one is we value truth in what we esteem, what we're actually active about. And the third one is we value truth in what we communicate. And so that's what we're going to do today. But we got to start with the first one, which is we value truth in what we believe. What we believe impacts everything else, our activity, our communication. And so what do we believe? When it comes to belief, when it comes to truth, there are several different kinds of truth. Like this isn't complex, but there really are several different kinds of truth. The first is there's variable truth. There is such thing as variable truth, right? It's when many things are true in one season, but not in the next. This happens. When our family went to Philadelphia in 2 months ago, and we were in the Museum of the American Revolution, which is so good. It's so impressive. And they had this exhibit at the time, I don't know if it's permanent, but on different flags of the U.S. And just walking through, it wasn't that the flags amazed me, to be honest. It was just how oftentimes it changed. Like, we'd get a new state, right? The first flag might have had 13 stars. At some point, we have 19 stars and then 22 stars, right? And that the whole concept of that was like, my entire life, we've had 50 stars. And that's a good number. That's a good number to stop on. I mean, you know, all these thoughts on it, right? And the reality is, like, I take that for granted that we are a country with 50 nations. We've got Puerto Rico. We got Guam. We got some other things, but we have 50 states. But do you know that that hasn't always been the truth? There was a time where the USA had 48 states, and we were settled on it. But things change, and it's okay. And for Christians, this is one thing we have to be good at. We need to acknowledge some truths are variable. There are times when we might say, this is true. This is what God is saying today. And that could very well be true. And without a contradiction, but just in a new season, we might be sensing God is saying this for us today. Like, there are certain times that one thing that's true in one season will shift in another season. There aren't very many things, though, of the spiritual nature that do this. But it's important that we don't just dismiss variable truth altogether. Even though we might have a tendency to do that, we should acknowledge it definitely exists. Okay, the second type of truth, this is the one that impacts theology a whole lot, is perceptive truth. And perceptive truth, certain things are felt and reasoned to be true. I feel this, I think that in our house, throughout the winter, the thing I hear every single day is, it's so cold in here. And it's not me. I know what's true. I'm just fine. And the more times we have these conversations, the more my blood boils because I'm thinking of the bills and I'm right? And then I'm getting hotter while these people are all freezing, right? But for them, their perceptive truth is, it's really cold in our house. It's really cold. And for them, it's true. For all four of them, it's true. For me, that's not true. It's just right, and it's reasonable and logical to not turn it any hotter in here, right? Those are perceptive truths. And we're not going to agree. We're just not. There's a truth. I got a truth, right? There's a fine lady who was just in town, I think a week ago, Sheryl Crow. Not old, I strike that, but I used to love Sheryl Crow back a while back, and she had this song, If It Makes You Happy. Do you remember this? If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. If it makes you happy, why are you so sad? And it's this whole perception, right? Great song. It was a big hit. But it's like, hey, if it makes you happy, if you feel good about it, it's all right. It's good. And she wasn't pushing theology. I mean, it's a song, right? But that type of thinking, like, has really permeated us, society. Hey, if it feels good, it's like, what's the harm? It's okay. This is perceptive, and this is how perceptive truths grow. And so we get to, you know, whatever your start is, eventually, you know, you can say, perceptive truth would be like when someone says, I personally feel it should be okay to smoke this kind of drug. Or I personally feel it's, you can do whatever you want with your body, and that's totally okay. Or I personally, right, and it's these, I feel this because I want to believe this is true. These are perceptive truths. And for the person who says that, we need to recognize that's how that person really feels. That doesn't make it a truth. Like, somebody could be wrong in a perceptive truth, right? My house is not that cold in the winter. Okay, even though there's belief that it might be. No. But the whole point of that is like, yeah, okay, so here's my metaphor for you today. The world's standard says that moral truth is a river. The world's standard says that moral truth is a river. And what do rivers do? They flow. They're constantly moving. Sometimes they're rushing. Sometimes they're slow and trickle. Rivers over time change course. Over time, rivers grow a lot wider. Most every river in the world today is started off much smaller, and they get wider, they get bigger, they carry momentum, they carry a whole lot else than just water. There's a lot going on with the river. But today's standard, though, is that moral truth is like a river, and it's just constantly able to change, to be flexible, to go around things that are obstacles in the way. This is how like the world standard is. Moral truth is something that can be perceived. We can be perceptive and say, well, I don't think that's right because, or I feel this way. That's how perceptive truth works. We'll come back to that, because that certainly has an impact on what we believe, right? If we feel a certain way, it's going to impact what we believe. Well, so there is variable truth. There's perceptive truth. The third kind of truth is absolute truth. And it's interesting, like the more recent history, last 100 years, I mean, it comes in waves where society accepts absolute truth and then it's on the out and then it's back in. But that's basically the river. That's kind of what the world does. Like something's in for a time, out for a time. Well, with absolute truth says there are certain external realities that are resolute and unchanging. Absolute truth isn't something that comes from within me, a flawed person. Absolute truth would be something that exists on its own apart from me, apart from you, apart from your desires. So Malachi, in the prophet Malachi, God says, I, the Lord, do not change. And that's not really a verse taken out of context. God's pretty consistent on this. God does not change. With that, God's word does not change. God's words do not change. His message does not change. God is actually really consistent on this. This is who he is. And so if his word reflects him and it doesn't change, there are a couple things I want to give you 3 points that why this matters. If God's word doesn't change and it's this absolute truth that's out there, it means one thing, or 3 things. One, there's nothing for him to improve upon. That's like completely opposite of our lives. We have ways to improve our lives. We have ways to improve our cooking. Everything in our life, we have ways to improve upon them. The way we do our job, the niceness, the kindness we treat other people with. For God and for his word, he has nothing to improve upon. Number 2, his word in scripture is not incomplete or missing anything important. Scripture is not incomplete. It's not missing anything important. How often have we been part of maybe a Bible study where the comment, like I'll say, somebody will say, man, I wish God specifically talked about this in Scripture. And it's like, oh, I wish that particular subject or that noun was actually listed in Scripture. You know what? God's word doesn't have all those words, all those nouns, but everything we need to know of God, like it's found in Scripture. It's not that it's incomplete. It's not that it's missing anything. And number 3, his spirit speaks today and complements his word in Scripture. We believe that God's word is just that. God's word is inseparable from God. And that's a really important part. The Scripture, this is why we value Scriptures. We see it as this absolute truth that exists, that's not flawed, that doesn't need us to defend it, or reason around something in it. We actually take it because we trust God, and God and his word they're not two different entities. In fact, the word became flesh. This is Jesus in the Gospel of John. Like that's how tied God is to his word. They're inseparable. And so why do we value the scripture? It's because this is God's word, and his spirit, when he speaks, only agrees, only compliments. That's how that works. See, absolute truth is not influenced. There's no influence on absolute truth. It's not corrupted. It's not like us where I can feel a certain way and my heart just says, you know, I could believe this. It's like absolute truth stands on its own. And the concept of it, just it stands on its own. So if the world standard for moral truth is like a river, a biblical worldview sees moral truth as absolute and eternal. A biblical worldview sees God's word as absolute and eternal, this moral truth. So this matters because it affects everything else. What we believe is like step one of anything in our life. Before we do anything else, what we believe really matters. And so we value truth because we want to believe truth, not a twisted lie, not something that's based on something that I've created because I feel a certain way, which is, like, there's so much validity. I'm not trying to skip over, like, the genuineness of true feelings. Those matter. Feelings matter. But it doesn't take the place of what is true. And so what we're saying as a church is we value truth in what we believe. And then the second point is we value truth in what we esteem, like what we actively act out, carry out with us. And so esteem is a transitive verb, means to regard highly and to prize accordingly. See, Christians value what we believe by prioritizing those beliefs in our lives. And that's where it can get hard. We can believe one thing and then shield that belief from anybody else in the world. We don't want anybody to know what I really believe. It's like, actually, in Christianity, we want to be transparent. Like, we want to act out our beliefs. Many Christians often struggle with biblical beliefs when what they esteem most conflicts with the Word of God. I won't ask for hands, but I'd be shocked if one person in here said, I've never had a like feeling that, oh, I wish that wasn't in the Bible, or I wish that was different. Like, yeah, why? Because we have hearts. We care about people. We care about loved ones. Of course we care. God's not asking us to put our love, our concerns off to the side. He's like, no, actually, God enters into this with us. He has more love than we do. So if I've ever, and I have, had this like pity party for myself where I feel really bad because I just feel so compassionate, and sometimes God's word just seems so black and white. God is more compassionate than me, much more, and much more than you. And so God's word is to be received with compassion, but not to negotiate the truth that's in God's word. And oftentimes our upbringings, our traditions, the people who brought us into this world, and like we grow with these beliefs, and then we find out, oh, they're not really based on like the word of God. And we find ourselves in that conflict, right? Of that river of moral truth. Well, St. Paul Westport, how can we esteem, how can we actively live out what we believe is absolute truth? We uphold a biblical worldview. We actually uphold it. We stand for a biblical worldview where we acknowledge there's such thing as absolute truth. It exists not out of the goodness of me, but out of who God is. Absolutely. We also, to esteem truth, we acknowledge that God's goodness is greater than my goodness, is greater than collectively our goodness. The humanistic tendencies of the world is that if we put our minds together, we can solve every problem together, which there's beauty in this, by the way. It's not that it's all wrong. It just excludes God, and it puts us into a place that's greater than him. It's like, no. Like, we really want to recognize that God's goodness, not just his abilities, but his goodness, is actually better than the whole world aggregate of humankind if we work together for good. Like, God's goodness is still greater than that. Like, that's really incredible. So we want to esteem truth. Why? Because he lives in truth better than our ideas. We want to utilize God's word for building up of others as well. So what we esteem matters. What we believe, what we esteem. And finally, we value truth in what we communicate. And I was feeling this one this week. I was perceptively feeling this truth this week. But kingdom carriers strive to be clear and understood. And I don't think we always are. We love people like James Bond. Love James Bond. I don't know if you've seen his latest movie. It's incredible. But I won't tell you anything about it unless you have. James Bond is a man of mystique and secrecy. Men and women love James Bond because of that mystique, because you can't figure him out. He's just different. He just thinks a little differently, acts a little differently. He pushes people away when you think he's going to pull them tight. I mean, just all this like strangeness, and we're drawn to that character. His protege is Austin Powers. He's an international man of mystery. Exactly. We love the whole idea of the mystery and the secrecy and like, hey, this man has like this aura about him that's hard to figure out. And honestly, in our movies and our entertainment, that's great. But when you walk out of that theater, don't be that. As followers of Christ, we want to be clear. We want to be understood. Somebody who carries the kingdom of God does not play smoke and mirrors. In fact, the Apostle Paul went out of his way like numerous times so that he would never get accused of deception, of trying to like get money from someone. I mean, he was so over he was so beyond transparent just because he never wanted to cause confusion or any sort of like uneasiness. He's like, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. I stand for Jesus Christ. He was clear. He was understood. As kingdom carriers, that has to be an aspect of our value of truth, is that we want to proclaim truth that clearly. We want to live that transparently. It matters. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said this. He said, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. And his point on that is, Jesus is saying, like, don't live in this, like, vague world of, like, don't you be vague in a vague world. Be clear. Take a stand. Yes, no. Black and white. Like, just be clear. See, when we're not clear, kingdom carriers are called to be trustworthy. And so we want to speak so that there's clarity. That matters, or type, or however you're communicating. We want to be clear. And when we're wrong, and we are, when we're wrong, if it was intentional or if it caused problems, we confess it. If it was harmless and unintentional, we acknowledge it. But we make it really clear. I said this the other day. I shouldn't have. I was wrong. Like, I shouldn't have called Sheryl Crow old. It just came out earlier. Like, I felt really bad as soon as I said it. And then I still said her name. Like, that was not intentional at all, but I shouldn't have said it. I'm telling you, I shouldn't have said that. Okay. But this is like a kingdom carrier. We strive to be men and women of truth and integrity. Kingdom carriers know that not every truth is worth arguing over, right? There are truths that matter. There are truths that it's not worth arguing over, and being the Christian who's always in an argument, it's just, there are things not worth that. But when it comes to the truth of the gospel of Jesus, this is when it matters. And even then, it doesn't have to be an argument. It's just, I so stand for Jesus. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Like, this is, I love, we're not really looking at the Apostle Paul today, but this is his testimony, right? He was so changed. He was an extreme sinner. He was an international terrorist doing all kinds of terrible things. And as soon as Jesus encountered him, his life is forever changed. And he leaves everything of his past behind, literally enters into this like transparent life where he just wants to proclaim the gospel of Jesus because he's been saved by the blood of Christ and he wants everybody else to have that opportunity. As a kingdom carrier, that's the kind of truth that we go for. That's the kind of truth that we will continually present, is this is the gospel, and it helps us to be witnesses. Kingdom carriers care about the witness that we give to people. It's not to save our own reputation, but it's to say, look, I stand on this truth that I believe Christ loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you, to change your world, not just your 70, 80 years here, but your eternal world, your eternal life. This is what Christ has done for you. We stand for that, which is amazing. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Bless you. Lord, as we seek to be kingdom carriers, we want to stand on truth. And Lord, I know theology and when it feels like there's so few in this world today that will honor this idea of an absolute truth, something that's external, something that the Word of God was right from the beginning all along, and it's never wavered, but it's never been incomplete. And yet our own lives are these wandering paths trying to figure out our own feelings in the midst of truth. And God, help us as church. We have it's a good calling where we're planted here in Fairfield County. God, to advocate, to value truth in such a way that we love others through it, but we uphold that truth. We say, this is where we get everything we understand, everything we believe in comes from a truth that's eternal. We bless you today, Lord. Help us to grow in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.